So the title of this thing is Personal Environmental Influences on Community Participation by People with Mobility, Low Vision, and Hard of Hearing. So a life without a cause is a life without an effect. And I know some of the people in here have had an effect, so I thought I'd put that on there. Okay, this is kind of old, but you probably remember Gerben and his breakthrough article. I know Gail does. I got a nod out of that. So it's kind of interesting to get this breath of fresh air and saying, hey, the disability isn't all in the person. It's actually, I think, somewhere between. And those are the missing links. And that's what we want to find out. And then Gail and I and others got involved in this ICF thing and trying to chop up the world. And there was some blood spill along the way, and some people aren't quite satisfied yet. But it's there. It gave us a vocabulary to talk across that gap that I just showed you. And my interests have been in participation and the environment. So this is for you, Gail. Okay. And remember, this is just my view. I'm not, you know, this is not the Ten Commandments. Close, but I have another student of mine back there. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? It's that's right. It's not the ten. It's the nine. Anyhow, okay, so participation is not capacity. And it's not difficulty in performance. It's not judged against societal norms or role expectations. As a former professor of mine said, don't reify the roles. Participation is not exclusively social. It's not one-dimensional. It's not independent of other participation. It's not a constant across places. And it is not measured objectively by outside observers. So you don't have to accept any of that, but that's where I'm coming from. And we decided, well, the observer could be the person with mobility limitations, low vision, or hard of hearing. And so we came up with another survey called the Survey of Participation and Receptivity in Communities. And the purpose of it is measurement of participation at specific sites by people with disabilities in their communities, both the site accessibility and their perceived receptivity. So if you basic example of this is you normally don't participate in a synagogue or a church the way you might do in a grocery store. That's sort of simple distinction. So how do we develop it? Well, we had key informant interviews, focus groups, pilot tested the format, formatted items, had to redo them again, put them into a format, put it online, and tried it out with 100 people, and then it seemed to work, so made some minor adjustments, and then we gathered 670 records. And then we did psychometric testing on it, traditional psychometric. It's not, I don't think, rushable. And so the formats are computer-assisted, web-based survey, and phone interview. And yes, hard of hearing and low vision people could do it, and it was and blind and deaf, and it was vetted on those populations several times. The sampling method was not a randomized national sample. It was a stratified purposive sample for impairment, limitation, and mobility device users. The inclusion criteria had to be between 18 and 75, and since I'm over 65, I wanted to go beyond the usual. Live in the community, have access to a computer phone or phone, read at sixth grade level or above, with self-identified mobility, vision, or hearing impairment. And the items include, it's different than your standard testing scheme. We have a sequence of items for each place. But at the very first part of it, we ask the sort of standard demographic questions. And then we ask, do you go, and if you go, how often per day, per week, per month, per year? And then we ask the two major health inhibitors of participation, pain and fatigue. then we use, then we look at two of the biggest facilitators of participation, assistive technology and personal assistance. And then we have, how does a person evaluate what they're doing? Importance, choice, satisfaction, and control. And then we go to how they perceive their reception at the site that they're at, and we call that receptivity. And right there, it's the communication aspect of receptivity. So if you go into a store and someone says, "We don't serve your type here, get out," which has happened to me at a restaurant or whatever, they would get very low on that receptivity score. Not that they'd care. Anyway, then we have a whole list of access features that differ by the type of site that you're at, and then we have the type of transportation and the difficulty you have in using transportation. And these are the sites that we came up with, and we don't do much with the home, but we have it anyway, in case we ever want to look at that. These are the demographic ones I told you about. So we have 13 secondary conditions and the general other types of demographics, except assistive device use and personal assistance are probably not your usual. Okay, and this is what the format looks like when the computer screen comes on and you're asked to participate, and if you say never, then you go into that kind of question structure, and then we find out why you don't participate, and I'll show you a slide on that. It's kind of interesting. And then if you do, how often, and how important is it for you? And then we get the geographic location of the place you go. So we now have the geographic location of the place where the person lives and where they go, so we make these web maps of the distance it takes for a blind person uses when they go to different places, and a low vision and these other groups. Kind of cool stuff. And then this is the evaluative questions beside the importance, which we factor, analyze, and find out importance is different than these. So we talk about them now as control, choice, satisfaction, and influence of others. And these are some of the questions on that communication scale. It's a two-factor one. It's the nice factor and the bad factor. And the nice ones, I'll let you guess, are they avoid you or look directly at you? Well, the answer to that question is look directly at you is a good one. And avoiding you isn't so good. This is the rest of the set of questions we ask for each site. And so those are the pain and fatigue ones. And it's kind of interesting because we have the same kind of question in the core demographic about pain and fatigue, and you get like 70% of the group answers that they have had pain or fatigue sometime in the last 30 days. But when you go to each site, it's really much less because it doesn't prohibit them from participating. I'm mumbling? Really? Thank you, though. Okay, I get a little, how's that? Okay. Where was I? Okay. And then we have one question on overall accessibility, and then we have up to 22 items that you can check that are found at the place you're going, like automatic doors, flat entry, drinking fountains, and so forth. And so we can analyze, those. And then this is the transportation question. Any National Council on Disability publication since the thing was founded always cites transportation as one of the biggest problems, so we decided to look at it. And it's not the type you take and the difficulty. So then I didn't want to bring all the reliability tables. Dr. Hollingsworth wouldn't let me because there are about 50 of them. You can imagine all these things. And he would have been here to explain them. Anyway, so we took three sites and we ran Cronbeck's and test retest. Those are pretty good Okay. This is a simple one, but it just, if you just kind of look at the total, you can see we had 670 people in the total, and then we broke it down into the low vision, hard of hearing, power wheelchair, manual wheelchair, cane crutch walkers, blind and deaf. So we can do all kinds of comparisons on that. And you can see that they're mainly white, they're females. Marriage was kind of distributed, pretty highly educated. Most of them live with someone else. They don't earn a whole lot. There's 59 of them in independent living centers. We wanted to see if that had an effect. And then those are the SSDI, SSI, and SS, retirement, and then Medicaid. Then we can break it up by male, female, by where they go. And I didn't take all 17 of them. I just took a few of them. And you can look for gender differences. And if you look down to gas stations, you'll find out that males go to gas stations more than females. I'm sure you're dying to know that. But we also worship more than the females. So there you are. Maybe pray not to crash. Whatever. Okay, now we can do the low vision folks. And notice the sample size shrinks considerably. But the places they go, high-frequency ones are grocery stores and doctor's offices and large stores. The ones that I didn't put on here, like durable medical equipment, are low, and sports arenas and exercise. You'll see that in a minute. Okay, so this is a graphic of the whole 670 of them by males and females in total. This is a different way of showing what I showed on the other table. This is the low vision folks versus blind. And you can see that the blind folks don't go to see family and friends as much as the others. They go to their beauty salon more often, though. This is the graphic of the number of accessible sites, accessible features at each site, and the types. Now, this is for all sites. So you can see the ADA effect with those four or five to the left are all covered under ADA, and the ones to the right aren't so much covered. And then this is the reasons for not going, which is kind of interesting, I think, because usually when I read articles, they talk about fatigue and pain as major reasons for people not doing things. And this graphic shows that the main two reasons for not going are they don't have any need to go or they don't have any interest. Now, we have these for all the different impairment groups, and I've just picked out low vision. One of my students did a really nice job on it. And this, if you keep your eye on the red line and the green line, you'll see some changes in the blue line. So, transportation is used most often, and restaurants occupy a lot of visitation time. And you can see that transportation is important, the doctor's office is important, and believe it or not, restaurants. Now watch this. Transportation satisfaction took a dive. Surprisingly, the doctor's office didn't go down so badly. Accessibility. I was a little surprised with the doctor's office being so accessible, but and restaurants being lower. So this gives you a view from one impairment group. The next one is we used another measure, the parts, the participation for mobility limited people, and the FADS, the facilitation barriers, and we looked, we did a structure equation modeling, and we found out, yes, there is a relationship between participation and environment, and you can see the subcomponents for each. But now with the SPARC, we have it all in one instrument, so we can cut it up and look at the physical environment versus the personal perspective, and you can see that the relationship isn't that great, but watch this. That's for the physical things. This is pretty good. Because now you're looking at the how people evaluate their receptivity and how they evaluate their participation. They're highly related. And then this is a kind of web map. It's not web in the sense that you think of a web user, but a distance map and frequency map. We used to code them by thickness, but got a little weird because the more places you get, the more lines you have and they overlap. So, Okay, and then if you're interested in theory, some of my former students will recognize this Darwin thing. We kind of look at these different impairment groups as different subspecies, and we call them impairmenta, and we live in different worlds. And when we have a really constricted world, it's the red thing, and when it's not so bad, it's the yellow. Okay, so we developed this measure. I won't go through this because I don't have time, except to say it's the community health environment checklist, and it's the objective assessment of these places. And this is the map that we get. And unfortunately, where it was going to be a link to the internet, we have Google Maps of 15 cities now and about 1,000 buildings, and we're using it along with rehab facilities and occupational therapy programs to measure, using the check, the accessibility of these different places. It's pretty cool. And then, so now if I said what it is, and I will say what it is quickly, it's a construct, and it's described by participants in terms of time evaluation, perceived body states, and participation includes the support used to do activities. Participation must be specific to an impairment group, not compared to those without impairment. Participation assessments must include the setting where the participation takes place. Assessments of place can be subjective or objective. That's our spark in our check. Participation is dependent on environmental features relevant to each impairment group. And the objective and subjective measures of the environment can converge, diverge, or cover different aspects of participation, the puzzle. That's it. Made it.
With time to spare.
I got time.